Ave Maria Radio and Renewal Ministries presents Burning Hearts, using scripture to draw us into a deeply intimate conversation with the Lord. Rachel asks us to consider two questions. What is God saying to us? And what are we doing about it?
Hello, friends, and welcome back to Burning Hearts with me, Rachel Herbeck. And we are on our final day of this week, wrapping up the first little section that we're going through on the Last Supper Discourse. And over the next couple of months, I want to go through different passages of John 13 through 17. As we talked about yesterday, Jesus beginning to enter into his passion, which will lead to his glory. As we talked about the very first day of this week, if you haven't had time, go back and listen to our days that we had together talking about it's Jesus's hour. From the minute he steps on the scene, he says, my kingdom has come. The hour is coming. He says it to the Samaritan woman. The hour is coming when people will worship on this mountain. The hour is coming. Mother, my hour is not yet here. He talks about the hour over and over again. And in this passage, he opens it up and he says, the hour has come. And he knows who he is. He knows the mission the Father has given him. He knows who the Father has called him to be. He knows what the Father has entrusted to him. And he knows he's going back to the Father. And this reality that we know that Jesus did all this because he loves us. Because he loves us and he wants us home. But he also loves the Father. And the amazing reality early in this week that I challenge you to do is when you go to the Mass, think about Jesus is offering himself back as a perfect sacrifice to his Father. He loves his Father. His Father delights in him. They have this beautiful relationship. They love each other. And he's doing this for us. And he's doing this for his Father. And we can actually enter into Jesus's perfect sacrifice back to his Father. It's amazing. And yesterday we talked about how Jesus still serves Judas. He still washed his feet. And how Jesus foreshadows baptism and saying, unless I wash you, truly, unless I wash you clean, you have no part in me. So the washing of the feet is this liturgical act. And this is how Jesus begins his hour. It's how he begins his final hour. He's not like, oh, I got to get a good, nice meal. I got to get a nap in. I need some time for myself before I'm going to do something really hard, okay? No. He serves. He pours himself out. He loves those that God has given him till the end. So if you'll join me in prayer, we're going to spend our last 10 minutes here just going through these last couple of verses and listening to what God has to say to us. In the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit, amen. Jesus, we thank you. We thank you that you are meek and humble of heart. We thank you that you show us this example of what it means to love, what it means to allow ourselves to be loved, what it means to take part in you. And those of us who are listening that have been baptized, you've cleansed us from our original sin, Lord. And today we just ask that you would wash us in a new way. We repent from our sins and you would wash us again. Not in that same way of baptism, but you would just clear our sins out. Any venial sins that we have, that you would clear them off of our conscience right now. Through your blood and through the power of the Holy Spirit. And Jesus, we love you. We ask you that this word would deeply, deeply penetrate our hearts in a new way. That we may come to know you, we may come to walk with you in a new way, loving one another as you have loved us. And we ask this in all your most holy name. Amen. Father, Son, Holy Spirit. Amen. So for this last day, I want to wrap up with John chapter 13 through 16. And let's read it. It says this. John chapter 13, 12 through 16, not the whole three chapters. Sorry. John 13, 12 through 16. You're like, all right, we're wrapping up with three chapters. Okay. So 13:12, when he had washed their feet and taken his garments and resumed his place, he said to them, do you know what I have done to you? You call me teacher and Lord, and you are right, for so I am. If then your Lord and your teacher have washed your feet, that you also should wash one another's feet. For I have given you an example, that you also should do as I have done to you. Truly, truly, I say to you, a servant is not greater than his master, nor is he who is greater than the one who sent him. If you know these things, blessed are you if you do them. So Jesus, and I love it, says, he takes off his garments and he puts them back on. He resumes his place. And again, remember we talked about how the symbolic thing of Jesus taking off his garments to go to the lowest place, it's like what he did when he comes down to earth. He didn't take off his divinity. He's still completely divine. But he leaves his kingly throne in heaven to come down and be born of a virgin. But what will happen, and what has already happened, is Jesus dies. He goes into the netherworld. He defeats death. He rises on the third day, and he ascends 40 days later into heaven. And he is seated again at the right hand of the Father. That's where Jesus came from, and that's where he goes back to. So he resumes his rightful place. He comes down as a servant. He comes down and washes our feet. He comes down and cleanses us from sin. And then he goes back to his rightful place. And so even that first verse is saying Jesus took off his garments. He serves us. He washes us. He cleanses us. He does the act that he needs to do. And then he puts his garments back on and he resumes his place at the head of the table. It's the symbolic thing to say the king has come. And he's done an amazing act of humility. He's died. He's gone to the lowest of the low, as far as the king can go. That's where he went. He's died. And then he takes his rightful place again. Because even though the king goes to the lowest place, he does not stay there, because the Father exalts him. Philippians 2, the Father has highly exalted him and bestowed on him a name that is above every name, that at Jesus' name every knee should bow in heaven, on earth, and under the earth. Then Jesus comes, he takes off his kingly garments to wash our feet, to wash our souls, to die on the cross. And then he takes the rightful place again that is his at the table as teacher and Lord. He takes his rightful place at the right hand of the Father. The Father exalts on him and bestows on him the name above every name, that the one who knelt physically to wash his disciples' feet, the one who knelt figuratively offering himself before the Father, everyone will kneel before him, because he is the king. And he shows us in a sacramental symbol. He says, I've given you an example. He says, you know what I've done for you. You call me teacher and Lord. Lord, the greatest thing in that time, you should call someone the one who reigns, the Kyrios. Lord, Lord, the King of all kings, you call me Lord. Do you know what I have done for you? You call me teacher and Lord, and you're right, I am your teacher and Lord. And if me, the Lord, if I, the Lord, have washed your feet, I, the Lord, have gotten down on my knees, I've scrubbed the dirt off your feet, if I, the Lord, have given myself up for you, you also must do this for one another. He's showing us the one thing Jesus says about himself in the scriptures. He's saying, I am meek and humble of heart. Take my yoke upon you. A yoke of meekness, a yoke of humility. And this is where we're still longing for power. We're still longing for the greatness of the world. We want to be first. We want to be seen. We want to be famous. We want to be with the people that the world deems as important. And the Lord's saying, to be like me is to take my yoke upon you. My yoke is easy and my burden is light. What is my yoke? My yoke of humility. My yoke of meekness. If I, the Lord, have done this for you, you must do this for one another. I'm setting an example for you. And this is a moral mandate from Jesus. It's not like, hey, it would be good for you to do this. It would be good for you to do this. It's not merely an encouragement to be humble. It is a command to practice radical love. It is a command to practice radical love to one another, and ultimately to those outside of Christianity as well, but first to one another. So how are we doing this? This is something we need to reflect on. Do we long to be with those who are popular, who are powerful, who are famous? Or do we long to take on the humility of Jesus? Jesus is asking us, how are you following my example? How are you taking the lowest place? How are you walking in humility. I'm showing you, you are called to wash each other's feet. What does it look like to wash each other's feet? Because it's like we don't have this. We don't physically wash each other's feet. We see this on Holy Thursday. Sometimes people do this at weddings. To help out our neighbor, who are the people who live in your direct neighborhood? Is it old people? Is it young families? Do you even know who they are? That first step, who lives near me? That second step, how can I help them? How can I help them? Someone just told a story at our Bible study of this man who was like depressed. He hadn't left his house in years. And his neighbor went over. And every week he would go over and he would wash this man's feet. He would literally wash the feet of his neighbor. And this is what brought his neighbor out of depression, is him washing his feet, of that act of caring for him in that way. And so maybe it's not washing each other's feet, but it's how are we caring for each other? Do we know what's going on in each other's lives so we can be there for each other? Is someone sick? Is someone carrying someone heavy? Has someone miscarried a child? Have they had a new child? Do they need meals? Do they need hospitality? Do they need babysitting? Do they need finances? Do they just need to be sat with? What about the people that we don't like? Are we just running away from them? Are we walking away from them? Are we always taking the place where we can be seen? What kind of service and love in our lives are we doing where we're unseen? Or are we always being seen? Jesus is giving a commandment. He's saying, if I, the Lord, am doing this, look how low I'm going for you. And ultimately, the command will be to follow him to death. I'm giving you an example. Follow my example. I am the one who knows how to love so radically, who knows how to love so deeply. So friends, this is a place where the word of God can confront us. It confronts me. I know I haven't loved rightly those who betrayed me. I know I've held grudges. I know I've held unforgiveness, let alone served them. And the Lord is saying, how can you serve? Look into your heart. How can you be more humble? How can you take the lowest place? How can you not look to be exalted, but look to serve? And God wants to open up our eyes, friends, to those places. So I just want to take 10 seconds. I want you to put your hand on your heart. I want you to ask the Lord, Lord, where do I need to be humbled? Where do I need to be humbled? Ask him. Something just came to mind for me. I need to pray on it. But see what the Lord says. The Lord literally just said something to me immediately. Lord, where do I need to be humbled? And literally, you guys, I'm going to share this. Just as I was praying and I put my hand on my heart, the Lord was saying, this is something he's been saying to me over and over again, but the thing he brought up to me is to talk less and listen more. I love to talk. I always think I have the best points. I always think I have a great story. I'm often accidentally interrupting other people. And the Lord just said to me, as I put my hand on my heart, be a better listener. That's where I can be humbled. So he's calling us to a humble place, to follow his example. And today, as we go from this week, let the Lord speak to you. Be secure in your identity from the Father, and let Jesus speak to you of how you can be humbled. Thank you so much for joining us this week on Burning Hearts. Join us again next week as we ask, what is God saying and what are we doing about it? God bless.
Burning Hearts is hosted by Rachel Herbeck, the Director of Young Adult Discipleship for Renewal Ministries. Each program can be downloaded at AveMariaRadio.net and at RenewalMinistries.net. Burning Hearts is a production of Ave Maria Radio.
Throughout the scriptures, Jesus is teaching on the conditions for salvation are consistent, urgent, and often very challenging. Friends, I'd like to offer you my friend Pete Burek's new booklet, What Must I Do to Be Saved? This booklet unpacks several gospel passages to help us find and stay on the narrow way. To get your free copy, call 1-800-282-4789 or visit renewalministries.net/burninghearts. That's renewalministries.net/burninghearts.